everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Dr. Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really so excited that our paths crossed through another guest on the show, actually a nutritionist, Dr. Diana Reed, because of all the episodes that people have asked me to do, this is probably the most frequently asked. So today we're going to talk all about perimenopause, going into regular menopause, what the symptoms are and what the resources are here in Luxembourg. But before we do that, let's just jump right into your Luxembourgish story.
I actually moved to Luxembourg when I was 8. My parents moved here from Germany. My parents are Polish, so I feel also a lot of Polish nationality inside me, although I don't have the passport nationality. I moved here and, yeah, always lived here since then. Just the parts when I studied at university, I moved away from Luxembourg. I went to European school, so I was always more used to the international multicultural environment. And I would rather say that I feel European. I'm Luxembourgish, I'm German, I'm Polish, and I really enjoy living in Luxembourg because of its multicultural environment.
It's a common theme. Pretty much everybody I interview has some multicultural background story, and that's part of what makes them feel comfortable living here. You are a GP?
Yes.
Did you always wanted to go into medicine?
That is actually a very good question because I had two things to choose in my life, either art and design and medicine.
Wow.
And I actually applied for design and art to study that in London. But 2 days before the deadline for the application for medicine, I completely switched my mind. It was like a gut feeling that I had. I really wanted to do medicine, I think. And that was like a striking moment. Wow. I woke up in the middle of the night and said, oh my God, what am I doing? I actually want to be a doctor. And then it completely switched. I had to fill out all the papers in 2 days, and that was incredible. Yeah, it was stressful. But yeah, it worked out. And
I think it's really a lot of pressure to put on young people, like, what do you want to do?
Absolutely,
you know?
Yes.
But you must have an incredible brain that can be both creative and the science math thing going on.
Actually, I don't do anything anymore regarding in that field, in design art. I stopped completely. That's maybe also sad, but
well,
yeah.
It's never too late.
never too late. That's right.
So you're a GP, but mm-hmm. you are specializing in menopause and perimenopause.
Yes, I'm a GP since 2017. I worked in my private practice since then. Now I made a break to actually focus on my studies and to specialize in menopause medicine. What I did before that, I also made a certification to become a menopause coach. Actually, in the United States, there was an online course, and I really, really appreciate that course. And how I actually ended up there is because I started feeling first perimenopausal symptoms. So while working in my practice in Luxembourg, I suddenly felt that my daily work became so overwhelming that I couldn't see the same amount of patients every day. I felt very exhausted. And the first, I would say, striking symptom was dizziness.
Wow.
So it was such a strong dizziness that I, at the end, couldn't walk from my examination table to my practice table that was a distance of 3 meters because I just felt like on a boat.
So was it vertigo?
It was rather a positional disbalance, let's say this. It was not very this typical vertigo where you have this spinning head. It was more like feeling like you would tumble or you're like on a boat.
Wow.
So of course, I started looking up possible reasons for that.
Did you think it was like a virus at first? Because that's what I would think.
Yeah, but if that expanded and it became worse, it was there all the time. It became worse and I even feared driving at that moment.
Wow.
I was 39 when that actually.
Yes. I mean, that's still the 30s though.
Still
late 30s.
Yes.
Because I don't think perimenopause is on anybody's radar until they're like mid 40s.
Yes, and that is a very, very important misconception that we have about perimenopause. It can start very early. It can start even in around the mid-30s, but mostly around the late 30s, a beginning of 40s. And we have to know that the symptoms can be very subtle, you know, and very nonspecific. Like in my case, it was dizziness, it was exhaustion, it was fatigue, and I couldn't handle normal daily tasks anymore. I felt anxious. I had suddenly developed an anxiety that I never had experienced like this before. I started having panic attacks in the car while driving through tunnels on the highway, which is also dangerous. And of course, as a doctor, you start going through all your differential diagnosis, possible reasons for that. And I did all the checks. I went from one doctor to the other. They all told me everything is fine until I ended up with one doctor who I'm actually very thankful for because he told me, you know, you're just overstressed. But on the other hand, it led to a longer break from my work. And then I really had the possibility to reassess everything, to calm down.
You are a doctor yourself.
Right.
And you didn't kind of put it together that this was like a hormonally driven shift. Like the things that you're saying, like I was exhausted, I was stressed out, I felt like I couldn't handle everything that was on my plate. Like every single friend of mine feels exactly like that.
Yes.
So does that mean everyone's in perimenopause? Could it be that it's something else? Like you have kids, right?
Right. I have
like
two girls. Yeah.
Where were you in their ages? Because for me, when I started dropping balls, it was like after I had two kids. I think I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And then it was like, whoa, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my kids were, I would say, 7 and 10 at that time. And I was juggling a lot.
Did you feel like it maybe had to do with them?
No. I would say there were many factors playing a role. I mean, you're working as a doctor, you have a career, you're taking care of your parents as well, although they are at that stage, they were quite fine, but still, they are getting older. You have this caregiving position. And well, you have to manage your daily life. You have to take care of your children. You have to take care of your marriage. It's a very challenging time, midlife generally for women. And we have this societal expectations as well, that you always have to be coping with everything and functioning. And
you can have it all.
You can have it all.
Don't screw it up though.
Yeah. And suddenly this all stopped working. Coming back to your question, how do we actually know if it's perimenopause or if it's just stress? This is a very good question because I didn't know it myself as a doctor. I was never taught about menopause or perimenopause. I've never heard the word before. And maybe just on social media, but I thought, yeah, that is going to come in the 50s. Like everyone thinks, that's a public belief.
I feel like that's kind of wild that you are a medical doctor and completed medical school and you were never trained on menopause or perimenopause.
Yeah, so I tell you, I had maybe one presentation about menopause and one of my gynecological presentations or lectures. The main message we got was a woman enters menopause. She might require hormone replacement therapy to be able to get some relief from her symptoms. And that's the possible two things that we can give her, that is estrogen and progesterone. We should be very careful about that because that can lead to cancer.
Wow.
And that was it, you know. And I think to distinguish the two took me some time. I had to read the good books. I had to really dive into the research. You know, it's a natural process. We should never pathologize this hormonal transition. Mm. It is a natural transition, but we sometimes can use tools to make this shift gentle and to get through this easier. Because I got a lot of critics from some people saying that we shouldn't medicalize this phase. Why should we optimize it through hormones, for example? And I always say, you also take an ibuprofen if you have a headache, right? And you're taking hormones if your thyroid is not producing enough thyroid hormones. So why wouldn't I take something to relieve my symptoms and to feel better?
Just give me the laundry list of the typical symptoms, because you had dizziness, which was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was quite weird. That is not like the typical symptoms we normally mention when we talk about menopause. So let's say the first things is mood swings, everything that affects the mood. Those are mostly the first signs that we see and symptoms. anxiety. We suddenly have a rage, you know, that we can't control anymore. It comes out of nowhere. And women tell me, oh my God, I have such big fights at home with my husband, with my kids. Like everything annoys me. I'm so irritable. I feel anxious for no reason. I even low, like I have a low mood. I feel depressed, which I didn't used to feel before. And I feel some kind of a loss of feeling of themselves, you know. So, and sometimes they also describe themselves as, yeah, they are disconnected from themselves. And that is mostly the first thing that brings them and says, yeah, something is going on. Something is not right. And then sleep troubles.
Oh, yeah. Just about to ask.
Yeah.
What about sleep?
That is also very first common symptom that appears. That means either you cannot fall asleep or you just wake up in the night at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, very often with palpitations or with anxiety that is out of proportion, you know, to the situation, because you start worrying about things which are completely not worth worrying about. And you dramatize a lot of things.
I'm nodding. I mean, I'm taking magnesium, but like I will just every once in a while just wake up. I used to think it was because I drank too much. But then if even now, if I don't drink, I just wake up around 2. Mm-hmm. And I went to my doctor and she said, you know, you've been in the trenches of motherhood for 10 years because I have like a 6-year spread of my oldest to my baby. Mm-hmm. And your body has now trained itself to just wake up. So when you get in a REM cycle, like it turns over, you just wake up. But and then I can't go back to bed.
Well, yeah, possible explanation. But I also would please also take perimenopause as a possible reason for your awakenings. So how to handle that? You're doing the right thing. You're taking magnesium. Yes, you really have to take care of your lifestyle. You have to take care that you have a good sleep hygiene. There are other supplements that you can still take that are natural, that can help with sleeping, but you should know and be aware of hormones or hormonal fluctuations that could be the reason why you don't sleep. Sleeping problem, as I said, is one of the very impactful symptoms, because if we don't sleep and we have this sleep deprivation, that follows a cascade of negative effects.
For sure.
And they all interact together, you know, and then you're very stressed and you're anxious and then you don't sleep. And that affects, again, the anxiety and increases anxiety. So it all works together and pushes all the symptoms.
What about lack of focus?
Yeah, so lack of focus, then we go more in the direction that this lack or the decline in hormones, and especially in perimenopause, the fluctuation of hormones, they have a very great impact on the brain. So they impact neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, GABA. And we, of course, feel that, because if our neurotransmitters start fluctuating, of course, we will have and sense symptoms like lost concentration, lost focus, we have memory loss. The typical things that women say when they, I came into a room to do something and then I just don't know where I came here from.
What am I doing here?
Or they forget. Yeah, I heard like incredible stories. They forget the names of their children. Yeah, it can be pretty tough. And of course, when you're faced with these kind of symptoms, you think you're losing control. You really think you're freaking out. And that's also a very common thing I hear. I think I'm going crazy. So I always acknowledge that. And I always try to explain that there are reasons for that, functional reasons in your body, why you might feel this way. So the influence that hormones have in the brain are also well studied already. There's also a wonderful book recommendation that I will send you by Dr. Lisa Mosconi. She really made this incredible book about the effects of hormones on the brain and what this can lead to. But the good point is that it is only a transition, and that mostly all the symptoms reside and they go away. And actually after perimenopause, entering postmenopause, things get better.
So how long is the whole perimenopause into menopause? Because menopause is defined 1 year, no periods. By the way, this whole time we've been recording, you have not talked about cycle changes once.
Yeah, you see, because cycle changes are not the predominant symptom at the beginning. they actually come rather late. So first symptoms like the ones we just discussed, they can appear very early. This is also the reason why many patients or women generally don't make the correlation with perimenopause, because we still have that in our heads, and many doctors still have it, unfortunately, that you cannot be in perimenopause, or they always call it menopause, if you are still having regular bleedings. But that's not true. It's a big misconception, as a wrong information, because the body still wants to keep these regular cycles. The body generally loves regular things that are well controlled. The brain controls everything. And one of those actors starts playing crazy, like the ovaries do, because they age, they can't, the eggs in the ovaries age as well. The quality is getting less, and the ovaries cannot respond the way that they used to respond by producing hormones. Once this happens, the brain actually thinks, oh, I have to do something. I have to push those ovaries to produce hormones again, but it doesn't work. So this is all very complicated system relying on a feedback loop, the brain connected with the ovaries. But as I said, the brain tries to keep up with this regular cycle for a long time. And it actually works for a long time. But at this time, we already have hormonal fluctuations. And this can really cause the symptoms that make this perimenopausal phase so difficult. And perimenopause normally can last between 4 to 10 years. But I have talked to many women that experience these symptoms more than 10 years. Some of them go through this smoothly, and other women, they have really debilitating symptoms mm-hmm. that are disruptive, that can really interfere with their daily lives, that can end marriages, that can lead to stop, that they really give up their career, or that they even give up their work totally.
Can we move on to like what to do about this? So I have some friends that are older, and they kind of put it on my radar that perimenopause is a thing that definitely could be happening even from their late 30s. And mm-hmm. I'm in my almost mid 40s now. Mm-hmm. I also had my last baby at 39 and a half, mm-hmm. which I feel like put me kind of in a hormonal tailspin. Yeah. I sort of wish somebody would have explained that. Like when you have a baby, when you're older, it's just more difficult because your body's about to go through another shift, and then you just like had a baby. So you're recovering from that shift. And anyway, I went to my doctor. I said, look, I wake up in the middle of the night for no reason. I feel like my hair is thinning. I feel dryness, low sex drive, definitely wild PMS. Like when you talked about the rage, like I even said to my mom, like I have rage. And she laughed. She's like, I had that too. You know, but I mean, I like bark and I'm like, what is coming out of me? I'm like, whoa, yeah, you know, my cycles have become shorter since I had my third. So I go to my doctor, I tell her all these things. And she says, well, how old are you? I said, I'm 43. She said, are you having hot flashes? I said, no. And mm-hmm. she's like, okay, well, then you're not in perimenopause. Mm-hmm. And so here you have some like vitamins, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
Oh, and also I was diagnosed with ADD. And now I kind of wonder, do I actually have ADD, or was I just having all the symptoms of perimenopause? What do you do if you're in that scenario? Like, shouldn't she have ordered like a blood panel or something?
So, very important question, because you cannot diagnose perimenopause based on blood tests.
Okay.
That is so important to know. And why is that so? Because the hormones, they fluctuate so much that if you go, let's say you do your blood test in the morning, let's say the estrogen is really low, and then you go in the evening and it would be very high. So, mm-hmm. it always depends on how the level was at the moment of your blood test. But as the hormones are fluctuating, you actually don't know if you're right now in perimenopause. So we don't use it as a diagnosis. We simply use symptoms as a diagnosis, and we look at bleeding patterns. Yeah, so there's also the staging that we use in medicine, which is called the Strahd staging system, which we can look at. And it depends if there is a big difference in the bleeding times or the cycle lengths, or if there's a difference in the cycle lengths of more or less of 7 days, or if we have, for example, spaces or times where we don't have a bleeding for more than 60 days. So This is something we have to rely on, but mostly it's a clinical picture. It's symptoms.
So what about you have your period more or less the same time every month, but sometimes it's like super heavy and cramps for 5 days straight. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's like not much.
This can be, of course, should always be investigated with a gynecologist. Yeah, he really has to look into what's happening in there, down there, to see if there's no other pathology that could cause that, like fibroids, for example. Yeah, so this, of course, has to be investigated by a gynecologist. But once this is ruled out, then we generally can say that this can be, for example, already a sign of low progesterone. So I also had a patient lately that had terrible bleedings. She was really so disabled when she had her period that she always had to take a sick leave. And we did the whole procedure that I just explained. She went through a gynecologist and everything was fine. He said, now go on the contraceptive pill, mm-hmm. which she said, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I did that for many years. I didn't tolerate it well. I'm sensitive to hormones.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, you see, many, many women say that. And then we started her on progesterone. After already one cycle, she actually told me that she has a new life because the bleedings decreased to such an extent that she could, yeah, live again when she had her periods, that she could work again, that she has a life back. But yeah, the investigation is important, right? The gynecological checkups are very important to rule that out. One thing I want to say, there's no one size fits all treatment. So I don't want listeners to go to their doctor now and ask for progesterone because I just mentioned that they have terrible bleedings, because it's not the solution for everyone. And we always have to look at a patient holistically. We have to look at other pathologies that the person might have. Always make sure that you individualize, personalize the approach to a patient.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the next thing I want to ask is, what are the resources here in Luxembourg? So mm-hmm. you have your OBGYN, and let's say that you hit a wall with mm-hmm. that person.
So the dismissal is real. I've seen that a lot as well. I hear that a lot. Women who are not taken seriously by their doctors, or doctors who say simply the two red flags that I always mention. If a doctor tells you, no, you can't be in perimenopause because you're still menstruating regularly, you should leave.
Or what about you can't be because you're not having hot flashes?
Oh yeah, that is also ridiculous actually, because hot flashes mostly appear very late in the perimenopause. It is the last perimenopause, but they can also appear at the beginning. But most commonly is that we have hot flashes at the end, just close to the menopause, even after menopause still. So no, this is absolutely not a criteria, not an exclusion criteria, yeah, to be perimenopausal.
Okay, so if you get shut down by your regular doctor, mm-hmm. what do we do?
Yeah, so, you know, all the things I've been going through and my personal experience, and another thing I wanted to mention then is a pattern that I have observed in my patients the last years that I've been working as a GP that was always repeating itself. Especially in women, late 30s, beginning of 40s. Through that, so my personal experience and the things I could observe led me actually to dive in deeper into the whole topic. And I really felt that we have to get this message out there to increase awareness for perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and the whole transition. And that is why I founded the Let's Menopause Nonprofit Association last year in November with other three incredible like-minded women that I actually found through coincidence, let's see. Well, at least two of them, and one I found because I was looking for specialists in menopause in Luxembourg, and I found her. She's a very renowned and quite known person already in Luxembourg because she's been doing a lot of educational work and awareness work.
What's her name?
Her name is Diane Elsen. And she has also a very popular social media presence. She also, because of her personal experiences, had this urge to bring the message out there and to increase this awareness and to really help women in this transitional phase to get support, to offer support. And somehow we harmonized really well. We had the same vision and the same passion. And And we decided to found this ASPL.
Did you approach her? Did she approach you? How did that happen?
I think I mentioned like it would be a good thing to create something like this or something that would bring the information out and that would be accessible for all women in Luxembourg, because knowledge and education is the most important thing in this whole subject, in this whole conflict, you could even say, or drama, because knowing and understanding what is happening to you already is the first step towards feeling better. That was absolutely the same with me. The moment I started understanding why these things happened to me, I was less stressed when my symptoms came. And that in the end led to them being less strong. I sometimes run around with heart palpitations the whole day.
And which would be really scary if you had no idea where they were coming from.
Exactly. And then I take more magnesium and I try to integrate more relaxation and better sleep. And I go for a run or I do some physical exercise. And that mostly helps. But just the thought of don't stress yourself. You're not having a terrible disease or a serious disease here. That really is life-changing.
Tell me about Let's Menopause. Is that where people should go to get resources on all this?
We are a nonprofit association. We are right now in the process of creating a website. The website will be like a hub with concentrated information based on the latest research that women can access and where they can actually also contact us because, well, I'm a doctor and the other three women, they are also menopause coaches and health coaches, and they can mostly already reply or answer the most common questions. But what we are actually planning to do is improve education and public awareness. We want to support women during this really turbulent life phase. And in the future, what we would love to do is collaborate with healthcare professionals. That means that we really work with medical societies, professional associations, and so that we contribute to the menopause care that we have right now, but based on the latest scientific research. We have two clinics in Luxembourg. One of the clinic is it's the Clinique de la Menopause in the Centre Hospitalier in Luxembourg.
Okay.
And the other one is the Centre de Menopause de l'Andropause in the hospital Robert Schumann. This is also the expertise center where women can actually go and get a medical consultation.
Oh, let's say I feel like I got blown off by my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the next thing? Go to one of those centers?
You can write an email, you can call and ask for a consultation. At the first consultation you will have with a specialized nurse, she will talk about your symptoms, create your medical file based on your medical history, the medication that you're taking. So creating a medical file, and then later you see a doctor that will then decide with you whether you're eligible for HRT or not. This is just one thing I really want to mention here is the perimenopausal phase is tricky to treat because of the hormonal fluctuations we have. So imagine one day we have very high levels of estrogen, and then we take an estrogen replacement therapy that can fire the estrogen levels even more. Of course, there, as I said, there's no one size fits all. That's why this phase is pretty tricky to treat.
What do you think about the vitamins? They're like vitamin supplements that I guess are supposed to mimic hormones. You take one, there's like a daytime one, and then there's a nighttime one.
Yeah, these are all supplements, right?
Like mm-hmm. And they're not covered by CNS, and they're $50 a month.
Yeah, so the ones that you get in the pharmacy, I will not mention the names, but there are just a few of those available in Luxembourg. They are actually pretty well researched already. Let's say red clover, cohosh, black cohosh, soy isoflavonosus, soya. These are actually well investigated already. They can indeed improve symptoms, especially hot flashes. Yes, so it's always worth trying because I have patients who are really, really well with those kind of supplements. But other ones, of course, they don't react at all. Mm-hmm. And then we have to go for other options. But the main thing is that there are so many supplements out there right now, also in social media. And you see so much that is offered. you have to be careful with that because mostly that's a mix of different vitamins, minerals, and phytotherapies that sometimes are not researched properly, especially when they're all mixed together. Well, you don't know what the interactions can be. And secondly, sometimes, or mostly, the dosages are not the ones that we really need to relieve symptoms. So mostly they're very low dosed. But I always say it's worth trying.
So I was just about to say, since perimenopause is so difficult to treat because your hormones are fluctuating and it's different for like every single woman, is that the moral of the story is like you just got to try everything and see what works?
Yeah, it's trial and error. It's really like that. And what we mostly start with in perimenopause, let's say early perimenopause, where most of the women, they actually don't sleep well. They're exhausted. They can't function in the day because they don't sleep well. Plus, they sometimes have the mood swings. We often start with a low dosage of progesterone, but taken cyclically, that means we take just the second part of the cycle.
I think my friend's doing that, actually. Yeah.
We take it from the 14th to the 28th day in the evening because it has a sedative effect. And progesterone, I really like this hormone because it really gives fast relief. It is metabolized by the liver into a metabolite that's called allopregnanolone. And this has a very sleep-enhancing effect, really sedative effect.
Sounds great. I want some.
All right.
What if you know that you ovulated on day 10?
It's not about the ovulation. You mean how to take the progesterone? That is your question.
Because you said day 14, which I assume means after you ovulate.
No, it's actually you count to the 14th day from the first day of your period. So the period is your first day.
Yeah.
And then you just count until the day 14.
But like, I know that I ovulate on day 10.
Yeah.
So should I start taking it on day 11?
No, you should not.
Okay.
We cannot individualize it that much. So we are right now just applying this cyclical treatment.
Okay.
Because that's also written on paper from day 14 to 18.
It assumes that you have a 28-day cycle.
Yes, it does.
But if you have a 23-day cycle.
Yes, I know. It can be tricky. That's why I'm saying it's individual. Patients then call me and say, yeah, but I stopped taking the progesterone and normally we would expect a bleeding to come, but sometimes it doesn't come because of the hormonal fluctuations that are still going on because we don't suppress any of those hormonal fluctuations. We just try to relieve symptoms and to sleep better, right? And then I say, okay, you just wait until your next period comes and then you start counting from day one again.
Got it. Is there anything else that you want people to know who are living here in Luxembourg about menopause and perimenopause?
I would like women to understand that this transition comes much earlier than we actually always presume. That we should try to track our symptoms, that we should really talk about our symptoms, that we should open up, that we should not try to hide and push through because this is not the right way to do it. We have much more knowledge regarding perimenopause, menopause nowadays already. May it be on social media, but best would be if you buy the good books and read and really educate yourself. Because then you actually, first of all, as I said, you decrease your symptoms. That can already contribute very much to decreasing your symptoms and understanding. And go to your doctors, talk about it. And if you get dismissed, choose another doctor.
Love
Try
that.
To find the doctor that takes you seriously, really, that listens to you, that responds to your questions. And also importantly, be well prepared for this consultation. There is a wonderful app that is called Balance. It's been created by the very, very famous and very knowledgeable Dr. Newson Lewis. She's a specialist in menopause medicine in the UK. And she's been advocating for women since many years. And she's really increasing awareness for the topic worldwide. And she created this Balance app, which you can actually download. And you can track your symptoms every day. And when you have your doctor appointment, you just take that with you, or you can even print it out.
Nice.
So you should at least track your symptoms for a minimum 4 weeks. Write down your relevant medical history, your family history, the medication you're taking at the moment, go to your doctor. Hopefully he will acknowledge what you're saying and he will prescribe follow-up blood tests. Not necessarily hormones, because as I said, they are not used for diagnosing perimenopause, but you should definitely be taken serious. So you should not be dismissed. And this topic should be part of every doctor's differential diagnosis. That means it should be always part of all the possible pathologies that a doctor has in his head when seeing a patient.
This is so amazing. I'm so glad that I got to talk to you. One more question before I go. I'm not going to hold you to this, but based on our conversation, do you think I'm in perimenopause?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I actually think you're 100% in menopause. And to just go back to your question that you asked about ADHD. So ADHD has so many symptoms that can overlap with the symptoms from that perimenopause has. So that is quite common that women think that, so I think I have ADHD and that they are diagnosed for ADHD when they enter perimenopause.
Fun.
Yeah, very, very common thing happening. That's also a lot of information out there in the social media I see about ADHD, but we still don't have the research there. We still have a lot of questions to be answered. The one thing that we know is that women with ADHD, they react differently to hormones. They react differently to hormonal fluctuations. The symptoms can be much more severe in women with ADHD. And sometimes we also have to adjust hormonal treatment. If we decide to take hormones, we have to adjust them a bit differently than in neurotypical patients.
God, I feel like I could talk to you for another like 2 hours. Thank you so much. This was so great.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and have a great day.